Today's FanLUN Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight with 101 odds on either fighter landing a punch during the fight. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
All right, here we go. Hour number 3 of The Drive is live. Rick Butler, Adam Hickman, and The Bear hanging out with you. Now, over to Adam with the Top 5 at 5.
Thank you, Rick. Number 1 today. Russell touched on this in the Rocky Top Report. Kevin Steele, after a long, long month, has finally been relieved of his duties, and he is going to be taking home a pretty penny with him for it.
Yeah, a little less than $1 million, huh?
That must be nice.
$450 for 2 years?
That's still one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of Tennessee football doing, was just bringing on Kevin Steele for a month.
Yeah, I believe it was a total of 7 weeks. 7 weeks.
Yeah, that's impressive. He really won out good on that one. And then here we are, paying more buyout money.
Yeah, I guess we got to kind of maybe hope that finds another job somewhere that could take the money down. But, you know, if you're him, like Russ said earlier, probably not in too much of a rush.
But it does kind of suck because he's a coach I would actually like to have on the staff.
Oh, I know. You kept thinking like, hey, okay, he's here. You see the staff being built in the background. But you're thinking like, hey, maybe there's a way to at least keep him on, at least make it worth some of the money that you've already dished out. But either way, Kevin Steele out.
Number 2, Blake Griffin was out with the Detroit Pistons today, and it appears there's a lot of talk on the internet that the Brooklyn Nets might be the expected frontrunner to sign the former 6-time All-Star.
The Brooklyn Nets?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Haven't they already had enough free, I guess that would be a trade in the season. But haven't they already got enough acquisitional good luck this year so far with James Harden?
I guess in the modern-day NBA, you can never have too many assets.
I guess that's true. It's a big one. If he ends up going there, he can. Like, I don't think he's going to, you know, take a middle-of-the-road team to being a contender, but he can be that last piece on a good team.
Yes, he can. He's still worth about probably 14 points, 6 boards a game, I'd say. More basketball news here at number 3. Creighton has suspended basketball coach Greg McDermott following his insensitive comments he used addressing the team earlier this week.
What were the comments?
He was addressing the team at halftime and made a slavery reference.
Huh?
Yeah, so during Creighton's game, you know, he was trying to fire up the team and just used a very derogatory phrase when talking about, you know, we can't have any players. I'm going to use the phrase jumping the ship. He used one that was, you know, far worse. And it's been a really interesting fallout, I guess you could say. He said that he offered to resign, but that the players wanted him to keep coaching. But then a little bit later on, it comes out that he's now been suspended.
Kind of was a late reaction on the university's part to step in and do anything. I kind of thought just after the players voted, it was going to kind of just slide under the rug. But no, he has been suspended.
And I guess maybe that's one of those things where even if the school feels like they have it handled, a lot of the times you still have to appease the crowd. Still have to appease the group of people in the media. And if they're not done with it, even if you are, they're still going to let you know.
Number 4, a Tom Brady rookie card sold for a record $1.32 million on Thursday. The card was graded an 8 out of 10, while the signature condition was given a 10 out of 10. Now, the card, obviously, if you're spending $1.32 million on a rookie football card, you got some money. It was purchased by Fitbit founder and CEO James Park.
So, the Tom Brady rookie card?
Yeah, signed by Tom Brady.
Yeah, the autograph being 10 out of 10 is really probably what puts it over the top. Did you guys see, speaking of, I guess, collectibles from back in the day, a little bit of a 10-second tangent, did you guys see What Kobe Bryant childhood memorabilia piece sold for over $37,000 in an auction?
What was it, like a pacifier or something? Who knows?
His childhood home basketball hoop.
Oh,
somebody had bought the house, but the buyer didn't want to pay extra money for the hoop, so they got a crane or a drill type of thing, ripped up the basketball hoop right out of the ground, sold that thing for $37,000. Wild.
That is wild.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
And to wrap things up today with number five, the Arlington High School girls basketball team in, that's Memphis area, isn't it?
I'm not entirely sure.
I know it's West Tennessee. I think it's
Memphis.
I don't
know my West Tennessee yet.
But so they were playing in a game this week against Dyer County.
Okay.
And so after the game, the Dyer County coach was in the parking lot allegedly making comments about the Arlington High School girls coach. And moments later, this led to the Arlington coach, his son, started assaulting the Dyer County coach. Punched him four or five times, beat him up pretty good.
Oh.
And it resulted with the Arlington girls basketball team being suspended for the rest of the postseason and fined $2,000.
So a brouhaha is born after the girls basketball high school game.
Yeah.
Wow. The whole, and that sucks, man. Like, you're on this team. You're one of these girls who, you know, going through high school and you got enough on your plate. You just want to play some stinking basketball. Now you can't play anymore because you're coaching his dumb son. When beat the crud out of some guy?
Well, the coach didn't do anything. It was just the son.
Oh,
which
my.
Which makes the punishment kind of odd. And the son, worth noting, isn't even a student at Arlington High School.
Wow. Keep the emotions in check. Moral of the story. All right. I think I lost. I think I might have lost.
Yeah, that was
along the way.
Five.
Was that five?
There we go. That was five.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, that right there is your top five at five. Thank you very much, Adam, for that. Some great stuff there, especially kind of talking about the NBA. Maybe we get into the All-Star game coming up in a little bit as they really just cram everything together for Sunday night's game. But looking ahead and looking around to maybe what is coming up in the future, we heard an interesting news story today. In regards to what football is going to look like in Knoxville next fall. And this also comes off the heels of a couple of stories that we've heard in the last couple of days about whether it is schools or teams and other leagues and things like that starting to put together some kind of plan for what their football stadiums, basketball stadiums, anything else like that is going to look like. So we know that Alabama is one of the football programs that is planning on having a full capacity football stadium. We know that in July, the Atlanta Braves are going to be hosting a full capacity stadium for the MLB All-Star Game. But now it looks like Tennessee could potentially be a part of that list as Tennessee sent out a statement today talking about what their idea for football was going to look like in Knoxville in the fall. And essentially what they said is that they are planning on a normal return to football, planning on a normal atmosphere, but it is worth noting that in the statement, the word normal was in quotes, right? So when you're talking to someone and they use air quotes, you kind of know, you know, all right, kind of keep that in mind when thinking about that. So they said that things could change along the way, obviously, because things could come up between now and then. But does anybody find this interesting that they announced this in March? Games are not for a long time away. It seems like this is obviously just to stir up a little bit of excitement, also kind of following a trend about some of these other schools going ahead and announcing what they're going to do for the fall football season, maybe because of money, maybe because of something like that, maybe to get the early ticket sales. What do y'all think about Tennessee's kind of plan to return to a little bit of normalcy coming up this fall?
Hopefully we'll get there. Well, what were the numbers you just said? You broke up.
I don't know. What I think basically I was just saying that Tennessee is planning on some kind of return to normalcy in which they announced today. You know, some of these other schools are looking at They, some other schools have come out and said, hey, we are going to be looking at full capacity for football stadiums. I do think it is worth noting that Tennessee never said that, right? Tennessee just said that they are looking to return to normal in some way.
I think it's going to all depend on – I mean, it sounds hopeful. The last news report I read was that the federal government has acquired enough vaccines, doses of vaccines, so that every adult in the country, by the end of May, there should be enough available to where every adult in the country should be able to get vaccinated. If everybody, you know, that can get vaccinated does get vaccinated, I think it's very possible.
Sure.
You know, hopefully it'll be, at the very least, it'll be more than, you know, what Tennessee have, 20,000.
Yeah. Just
this
about.
Year. So, you know, I think, you know, we can kind of see some light at the end of the tunnel. And I think that we'll, you know, hopefully going into fall and hopefully by this time next year, we'll definitely finally be out of this mess that we've been in for, let's see, almost a year now.
Yeah, we are just about approach. One of these days we're going to wake up and the big news story of the day is going to be, hey, look, everything happened a year ago. You know, the big Rudy Gobert incident and everything like that. You know, when I do look at what UT had announced today in the statement, which I'll go ahead and read the statement in its full, in its entirety. Quote, our approach is to plan for a, quote, normal football season this fall while continuing to monitor the pandemic and the progress of the vaccine rollout and remaining prepared to pivot as necessary. We'll continue to prioritize health and safety as we develop responsible plans for the fall. And again, you know, obviously this is so far away. And a lot of our conversation about right now is very speculative, and we don't know what's going to be happening, whether positive or negative, over the next couple months. But I do kind of wonder, you know, for some people are going to read that and see the word normal and think, okay, so basically any football game before 2019, is it just going to be an exact copy and paste? Now, I desperately hope we get to that point sometime soon, hopefully this season. But I do kind of, you know, I think that they probably put the word normal in quotes, obviously to, as a little bit of a buffer, just in case they do have to go back on anything, but also to explain, hey, we're going to get as close to normal as possible, even if it just might be a tiny notch down from what you're expecting normal maybe 2 years ago. I don't know that for a fact, but that's kind of what my speculation on what their statement today meant.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're going to be optimistic. They really don't have any choice other than to try and be as optimistic as they can. So
and money, right? You got to think money is a part of that somehow.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, we took a total bath last year. Everybody did, but you know, ours was compounded by you know our complete. Basically, our football program was like one of those monks back during the Vietnam War. We just dumped gasoline over our heads and set ourselves on fire with the way everything went down with fire and proof for cause and basically just, you know, point blanket spilling our guts and admitting to what sounds like over 50 level one violations. I mean, it remains to be seen how that's going to play out, but. Yeah, everybody took a hit. The big thing is they've got to get the NCAA tournament. They've got to get that thing off this year.
Yeah.
That was just a huge, I mean, you're talking about over $500 million that was just lost last year just with the tournament alone. Put, you know, everybody in the NCAA into a huge hole. So
I will never forget last year. We were on our show, so it was sometime between 10 a.m. and noon. Tennessee was supposed to play Alabama in their first round matchup, or their opening matchup, of that SEC tournament at noon on that day. And sometime during our show, within the you know couple of hours leading into the game, that's when they canceled the game. And immediately after that, we were like, okay, this could be... Like, I don't
that's
know.
That's the day that everything really just kind of, like,
is, yeah.
hit you. Like,
yeah.
okay, this
and
is happening.
And I think we were all thinking, like, you know, I don't know if this is going to get made up, right? Like, I think they're canceling with the idea that, you know, this is just what they have to do right now. They haven't thought about anything else. They just need to get everybody away because, oh my goodness, like they're, you know, everything is starting to unfold for the first time. Yeah, man, one of those days we're going to wake up soon, and that is going to be all over Twitter. Just, hey, this, you know, D-Day, 1 year ago today.
Wasn't that the same night that Rudy Gobert had his little ordeal, if I remember correctly?
Yeah.
So many of those COVID days run together.
I remember it. It was a beautiful day. Yeah. We did the drive, and we were all starting to get nervous, and just the way things were going, I mean, you know, it was scary last year around this time. I mean, you know, we were seeing what was going on in New York City and around the, you know, in Italy and around the world, and it just got scary quick.
Man, it's so crazy to think about everything that happened a year ago, you know, going through your normal life, and then all of a sudden, you're never leaving your house.
I will say the one good thing, I went on probably one of the greatest TV show runs of all time.
Oh, yeah. I bet, you know, many people feel like they're in that same boat. What was the one that stands out to you in hindsight?
Yellowstone, for sure. No doubt about it.
Oh, that's a garbage show.
That's a garbage take.
What's his name?
Kevin Costner?
Yeah, Bull Durham and stuff. Western, right?
Yeah, okay. With a little bit of everything in it.
Bear, why don't you like it?
I'm not a big Kevin Costner fan. I didn't really care for it, so.
Okay.
Ozark was another good one I watched right before Yellowstone, actually.
Great one. Great, great TV show right there. Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about, but it's also crazy now to be sitting here and being in a position where you can look back on a year ago and just think how wild that was, but also already be looking forward to this fall. And again, like you guys were saying, have a little bit of optimism towards what things are going to be looking like. You know, I don't know if you guys had seen this story from, I believe sometime maybe last week, but the NFL even came out and said that they are basically, maybe a few exceptions here and there, they're expecting all of their NFL stadiums to be up to 75% capacity. They're so confident in that they've already factored that into the revenue share for the year. They've already expected all those ticket sales. So you really start to see maybe what sports are going to look like once the summer comes to an end. And as far as things are tracking right now, looks like we're going to have a lot more people back in the stands in case that is something that you would be interested in doing.
I certainly would. I'd go anywhere right now. I'm so sick of being locked up.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine that you are dying to go hang out with some other humans.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't too bad last spring. Remember, we were doing the socially distanced hang time over at the park near your all's apartment.
And all the time.
We'll get out and soak up some sun, listen to some tunes and whatnot. So, but, you know, it's wearing on everybody.
I think Bear's really just dying to come down here and meet me face to face.
No, Rick can tell you what I'm dying to do is come down there and tell you get the hell out of my chair and get over there and sit on the side and just work the computer. I mean, Rick, you being a former intern on the drive, you could tell this guy, the interns since the pandemic without me being in there, they don't know how good they have it, do they?
I can only imagine it is a wildly different experience. Wildly different. You know, Chance had even said today, like, we don't use on our show on the Blitz, we don't use our interns enough for things like, you know, what John maybe uses his interns for, what Russell maybe uses his interns for. I took a lot of, like, soda runs when I was on the, like, what was up with that? Soda runs? So Chance made a good point today.
Reese's Cup runs.
Yeah. You remember the big fiasco? How could he forget?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, Adam, you really have no idea how good you've got it right now. Like, when the drive is in full force in the studio, the interns are seen and not heard. All questions at one point in time had to be in written form. You guys get a heck of a lot more mic time than you normally would, and very little board time. That's kind of, you know, that'd be the first thing that happens when I come back there. You will get out of my chair.
You know, it's just the way that it has to go, though, because Fan Run Radio growing exponentially. we need all the people we can get to help put together all of our content and things like that. So it's a big house now. Clown car, almost. Clown car, I say specifically. Sometimes you just got a bunch of clowns on the radio. Anyways. All right, so let's see. Adam, you tell me that there is a specific game that is played on the drive, and I have heard this game before. I've always wanted to play it. Never had the opportunity, but you're saying that we have a game coming up next after the break. Is that correct?
Yeah, hot take, cold take.
Hot take, cold. Is this something that I can beat Bear in? Will I win against him?
It's really not that kind of.
Yeah, it's like you just name if it's a hot take or a cold take.
Hmm. All right. So we got that coming up next. You are not going to want to miss it. Also, we're going to get you ready for the basketball game on Sunday a little bit more as we wrap up the show. But hey, we got about 40 minutes left. Go ahead and give us a call. We still got open lines right now, 865-546-8200. But like Adam just said, on the other side of the break, we're going to go with a little hot take, cold take?
Yeah, hot take, cold take.
Hot take, cold take. Let's do it. Let's do it next. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Right in the middle of hour number three of the drive. You got Rick Butler, Adam, and the Bear hanging out with you right now as we're making our way through the third hour of the show. And I am told that we got a little hot take, cold take coming up next. So without any further ado, Adam, over to you.
Thank you, Rick. And let's get this ball rolling. First one. In this year's NCAA tournament, we will see the most upsets we have ever seen in the first two rounds.
Bear, you want to leave this
one? You want to go first, Rick?
No, I don't. I want to hear your answer first.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go hot take. I think without the Blue Bloods in it this year, and I don't think it's going to be your normal, what do they call it, Rick? Chalk?
Yeah.
Where you see the higher seeds. I would be totally surprised if we don't see a bunch of upsets early on here.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say the same thing. I do expect, you know, that at least if you're telling me, if you're saying you either got to pick a lot of upsets or no upsets at all, I think I got to lean that there could be more. You know, it's a situation where really, unless you're looking at the top three, maybe four teams, like the rest of college basketball, fairly on the same level. We've seen a season where anything can happen on any given night. I think that there's a better likelihood that translates.
Next, Tennessee's defense will be better than expected next year under Tim Banks.
Oh. Better than expected.
I mean, that's the biggest question going into the year one of the Heupel era is defense.
Hmm.
I mean, I'll jump in here. I'm going to go hot take on that one. I think that we'll be, I expect to be much better coached and just a lot more continuity all the way around, as the team as a whole. And I do expect us to play a lot better defensively this year. The only thing that worries me is at the linebacker position.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. It's so fascinating to think about how defense was supposed to be our forte the last couple of years, and it just never did. I think I'll go the opposite direction on this one. I think I'll go cold take. And again, I think there are question marks that are not impossible to be answered by any stretch of the imagination, but right now, I think as we stand on March 5th, more questions than answers. Still waiting on, you know, a couple of... Still trying to figure out a couple of positions after you lost a lot, right? Whether it was towards the transfer portal, whether it was towards the NFL draft, like a Bryce Thompson. I'll say cold, just because, I don't know. But although I think our expectations are low, so, you know, maybe inevitably they could be better, you know?
All right. So next, Nikola Jokic will win NBA MVP in a landslide.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm going to go cold.
I'm going to have to sit this one out because okay. I do not follow the NBA.
All right. So you said, Adam, you said Nikola Jokic will win the MVP. And at that point, I'm thinking hot, hot, hot. And then you said by a landslide. And I think that it's stupid close right now. All right, so who's our leaders? You got Joel Embiid?
Kevin Durant, but the thing is, he's not played in like, what, a month?
All right, so let's take him out.
LeBron's always in there. Steph Curry.
Okay. Maybe a Luka, but I think that, you know, you're pretty much going to two or three. Embiid, Jokic. I think he probably could win. I think it's going to be close, so I'll say cold.
All right. Fair enough. I'm just banking on the 76ers to kind of fall apart like they always do, I guess.
Yeah, and yeah. Doc Rivers has them moving, though.
I got one more good one for you guys.
All right.
Turkey bacon is better than normal bacon.
Bear?
Frosty cold. That's a garbage take. Much like your Nickelback one, I don't even know why you'd bring that noise in here. Turkey bacon sucks, and it's really not that much better for you, because they have to put so much crap in it to make it taste like real bacon that you're better off just eating the real thing.
I think that turkey bacon is good. I haven't had in a long time, because I will never, ever choose turkey bacon over real bacon. I gotta go cold take as well. Not that it's not good, but in comparison, man, it's not even in the same galaxy.
At least it feels like you're eating actual meat, though, instead of just something that's been burnt to a crisp.
Well, if it tastes burnt to a crisp, that's sounds like the chef's
problem.
Yeah,
that's on you, man. You ain't cooking it right.
You're cooking your breakfast. Doing? There we go. That is hot take, cold take. I find the one about the defense interesting. Because, again, you know, what are the expectations about, you know, what are they? I think if you ask anybody, you know, if you ask five different people, you might get five different answers. A couple of interesting things I think about the defense, though. We know that Tim Banks is a guy who likes to force turnovers. Penn State was one of the best at turnovers. We know that Brian Jean Mary is a guy who really likes those fast players. Again, guys who can turn guys who can force a turnover. We know that Tim Banks also made it very clear that Penn State defense was not going to let up pass touchdowns in the end zone. So if you just take those two things right there, let's talk about passing red zone defense and let's talk about forcing turnovers. Hey, at the very least, that is something that Tennessee fans have not seen in a long time. A defense that can really ball hawk and move to the ball and force turnovers. A defense that is locked down for the receivers in the end zone, or at least in the red zone, man. Those are things that Tennessee has not seen. So at the very least, if you can at least say that that is the idea or that is the mindset that these coaches are bringing in and we can see some steps towards that direction, then I would change my answer and say that, yeah, that's above expectations, because I feel like right now my lasting expectations for the defense is, you know, good, solid, not really forcing many turnovers, not really forcing many big plays, just a little bit of a safe defense.
A lot of question marks out there, too, surrounding the defense. So I feel it. I get it.
Yeah. And, I mean, again, question marks that we have right now that are going to be somewhat answered here in about 2 weeks when spring practice starts. Maybe a little bit more answers are found as you go on a little bit further to the orange and white game. And then, obviously, we'll have the season after that. So question marks that will be answered over time. But we also know that this staff pretty much was built around offense. You know, offense first. That's who they knew they wanted to go get. That's who they had no issues with going to go get. So I'm really excited about our offense. I know that wasn't the original question, but stupid excited about our offense, Frank. I know that Scott Frost is brought up in a little bit of a counter argument, maybe, but I don't know, man. I think this is a very smart coaching staff, especially on the offensive side of the ball, but we know the defensive staff now, and we can say that for them as well.
Regardless of what happens, we're finally getting an offensive-minded coach, and the difference between going 6-6 with terrible offense and going, I don't know, 7-5 with a good offense, it's like a 2-3 game difference, just because you're at least having fun watching the product on the field.
What was Ole Miss's football record last year? Let's see. Because they
football?
In football with Lane.
Last year, I think, what'd they go, like 3-9 or 3-7 maybe?
You might be thinking of Arkansas. They went 3-7 on the year. Ole Miss went
5-5.
How did they go 4-5 in conference? Did they play a non-conference game? How did they go four and five?
We only had 10 games. They didn't make up one of theirs, I guess.
They played,
but their conference record on Google here is 4-5, and their overall record is 5-5. Where did that win come from?
There's no way, but they didn't play any out of conference games. They shouldn't have.
That's what I'm saying. The bowl. Their bowl game. You're right. They did have a game get postponed, so they only had 9 SEC games, and then they won the Outback Bowl over number 11 Indiana. But let's even look at that team right there. Right, that goes straight into the point I think, Adam, that you were going with. Look at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a team that went 5-5. They went 4-5 in conference play. But what was the difference about, you know, their couple more wins than Tennessee had? Both teams stunk. Both teams under 500. But at least when you're looking at Ole Miss, right, you get some of these shootout games. Put up 48 points on Alabama, forced them to score 63 to win that game. You also had a couple shootouts, scored 50 points against Vanderbilt, 59 against South Carolina. You beat number 11 Indiana in the Outback Bowl when you're unranked. Put up 48 points against LSU as well. So I think you're right, man. Ole Miss had way more fun than we did last year. And I know that they got a couple more wins, which factors in, but just look at the final scores. I think you're totally right. It's a completely different mindset for the audience watching the game when you can at least have a little bit of excitement in the losses. Those losses last year were dreadful. Dreadful.
Another thing is, when you have a high-powered offense, the potential for an upset is always there. I mean, you're not going to go into Alabama with our offense and have remotely any chance of keeping it within 30-40. You have a high-powered offense with a defense, you can go in, beat anybody on any night.
Bear, what do you think about that? What do you think about kind of where the offense is moving? And do you agree that just having one of these high-powered offenses gives you that chance to maybe be in games that you know you didn't expect to be in, or at least give you a better chance to win those games if you do find yourself in it?
Well, I mean, it's one thing we've all been complaining about for a long, long time. The fact that our offense has been non-existent. It definitely was during the Pruitt years. We haven't been developing quarterbacks. Probably the last quarterback that really got developed would have been, either Tyler Bray with Jim Chaney, and Tyler was just kind of a lunkhead, or really honestly back to that 1 year with, Lane Kiffin and Crompton when he got Cromp Daddy turned around. So
think how much a guy like Josh Dobbs maybe even had more room to grow. You ever think about that? I mean,
if he had played here with under Cutcliffe, what his career and development would have been like.
Yeah, man, think about it. If he had that, you know, the Bray offense that had Derrick Rogers and Justin Hunter and was that Marlon Lane and Rajon Neal? Was that Tyler Bray offense team? Or am I a little bit off on the
I believe so, yes.
I think maybe there's some overlap. But either way, yeah, man, you give him a little bit of – not that Tennessee's offensive talent wasn't great with Josh Dobbs, because frankly it was, and you got a lot out of them. But I still think even from a coaching and developmental side of things, we saw – Josh Dobbs inevitably grow, because I think his bar coming into college was fairly low, right? And he did an incredible job of raising that, got Tennessee to a good position. But man, I still think that if you had given him more development right there, maybe even a guy like a Joey Hasley or certainly, you know, Josh Heupel at the helm, man, think about what a guy like Josh Dobbs could have turned into under that kind of offense. That is what gets me excited for a guy like Caden Salter heading into this team. Just dynamic.
I cannot wait until we get the Salter kid up here. Just absolutely fired up and ready for him.
And you know, I'm not going to put
what he can do.
Not going to put crazy expectations on him. I think a lot of people put, you know, some pretty darn lofty expectations on a guy like Harrison Bailey last year. But man, it just I think about how fun this team could potentially be to watch. Kane Salter, what is his season going to look like next year? Who the heck knows, man? We got Hendon Hooker on the roster, Harrison Bailey, who has game experience. Kane Salter's going to last in that line right now. But when you do have a quarterback room that you have not fully tapped into the potential yet, you have Hooker who's coming over, Bailey, who I don't think anybody can say that they have really unlocked, right, what Harrison Bailey could bring to the table. We have no idea about that.
We're pretty much going into it saying, all right, here's our quarterbacks. They're all freshmen.
Yeah, so yeah. Like, it's a great time to be anybody in that quarterback room right now because you have a perfect opportunity to make a first impression when that's what everyone's trying to do. So hopefully that works out in Tennessee's benefit. Hopefully that maybe creates a little bit of, I don't know, good competition. Healthy competition.
And Heupel's a guy, he really doesn't even need a five-star to go out there and put up numbers and perform.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, you look at the guy Dylan Gabriel, three-star from Hawaii. Look, people didn't know about Dylan Gabriel so much that he had nothing filled in his high school scouting report section on 247. Yet Josh Heupel was able to take that guy from Hawaii, bring him all the way over to Florida, and turn him into a top 10 college quarterback. Finished fourth in passing yards and fifth in touchdowns last year. That is spectacular. So you got to hope, and I think that has to make you believe that there is optimism ahead for this Tennessee offense. But, hey, that's just kind of what we are thinking based on, obviously, some of the light information that is coming out lately. But a lot of this is speculatory. A lot of it is just to get you excited about the fall and about what could potentially be coming up. But what is coming up next in the show? We're closing out the drive, fellas. We got about 15 minutes left in the program today, taking you all the way up to overtime at 6 o'clock. So we got one more segment left. We'll catch this quick break right here, jump back on this side, and then close this show out the right way. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the final segment coming up next here on The Drive. So we'll be back for his full 3 hours on Monday. A couple of quick score updates real quick, though. Tennessee baseball, they had first pitch just about 10 or 15 minutes ago. Things still rolling up in the beginning of the game. You can go and find that, actually, on the SEC Network Plus in case you want to watch the baseballs and Tony Vitello here in the Friday afternoon. That game's still knotted up at zero. Bear, what about our basketball game that we're keeping up to date with right now?
Right now it's a dogfight late in the third quarter, defensive struggle, NBA 31, Catholic 31.
Wow.
Both teams struggling on the offensive ends. It's high level defensive play going on right now. So we'll see how this plays out.
I don't know this off my head, and I don't know if you do either. This might be a little bit of an oddly specific question. We know that Tennessee has a couple of prospects they're looking at on Catholic's roster right now. Any of those other teams that you know of, Bear, who are in the Final Four, does Tennessee have any maybe names that they're looking into? Do you know off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head. I know that all four teams have. Anytime you get to the Final Four of Division II, which is, you know, I guess what they call big boy basketball.
Yeah.
There's D1 prospects on every team.
There is a guy for MBA who I can't remember his name. I've lost it here. I can't find the article. But he is a class of 23 graduate, and we have offered him in football. He's a quarterback.
Oh, wow.
And he also has an offer from Alabama, too. No big deal.
Oh, wow. Not good. Not good. We just lost one of our quarterbacks to them as well. So I'd love to not do that again next year. All right, so we'll keep an eye on that game score. Excuse me, Bear. What else we got for the end of the show here?
Let's head to the phone lines.
Okay.
I think we have Westchester holding on.
Perfect. Good afternoon, Westchester. Welcome into the drive today. How you doing?
I'm good, Rick. Good to hear you again.
Hey, it is a pleasure to hear you. It's great to be sitting in here today. I have loved it.
Before I get into my call, hey, I have a question for Dr. Bear, the segment that has slowly died off of over the course of the last year, but I need to bring back Dr. Bear for a second.
Okay.
I'm a little concerned for my folks My dad sometimes is his love for animals gets the better of him. Got a neighbor that he always gives treats to their dogs, and they have a positive case in the house. Probably don't need to be petting them, or do you think it's a low or no risk? Or
I'm not sure. I mean, it's been kind of inconclusive on that. I do know that as of today, they did vaccinate the first non-humans. It was, I believe, out in California. I think there were lowland mountain gorillas.
Yeah, it was a gorilla named Karen.
Yeah.
A gorilla named Karen.
Yeah. But if you guys remember, it's been a few months, but they actually had two gorillas at a zoo, and I believe it was in California as well, that actually contracted COVID-19.
Well, Westchester, I will read you just this one paragraph. You can take it for what you will. I'm reading directly from FDA.gov, so again, take that what you will. But according to that verbatim, this says, at this time, there is no evidence that pets, including cats and dogs, play a role in spreading COVID-19 to people. The virus that causes COVID-19 mainly spreads person to person, typically through respiratory droplets. So that's at least a paragraph from the FDA. Take it for what you want.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty good. Now, to get to my question, guys, we're going to be talking about this a lot over the course of the next few months, but can Heupel install his offense in year one, or does he have to kind of go with what we've got? Or
He'll be installing his offense from day one, and I think they will... It may not be a deal where they've got the entire playbook, you know, first game ready to go, Westchester, but he's apparently, you know, this is not something super complex to install, and a lot of it is just predicated on everybody knowing, running very precise routes and people knowing, you know, where they're supposed to be. On the field. So I've got every confidence in the world that,
yeah,
this is not good. This is not like installing the 3-4, going from the 4-3 to the 3-4 and having to recruit completely different style of players.
The way I look at it as well is, let's say Brandon and I are roommates. Brandon has an Xbox. Brandon moves out. You know, he's going to take his Xbox with him. So I have, you know, I kind of got to start from scratch because I don't have the opportunity to use that of the past anymore. I don't really know, you know, how much they'd have to hang their hat on from the last offensive staff. So I think they want to come in, throw everything 180 degrees, and really get the new era started.
Interesting opinion. You're probably right. That's probably the only way you can do it is just start with it and then recruit to it as you can over time. And rather than try to do something for 2 years and then change it, I guess that really doesn't make a lot of sense when I say it out loud. So, all right. I'll get out of the way. Thanks, guys. Good show.
Hey, thanks for the call, Westchester. And, you know, again, like, we don't entirely know, you know, that is going to be the case. Maybe they decide to kind of drip feed it or certain parts, or maybe certain parts of the offense are going to be unlocked for certain quarterbacks who can run. So I do think that we're going to continue to see an evolution of this offense. But I definitely think that the initial skeleton that everything will be built on will be fully Heupel certified.
Yeah, I mean, I expect us to be slinging it around come this fall, and just I expect a lot of explosive plays and, you know, pushing the ball down the field, which is, you know, basically what he likes to do. So very similar to, I would imagine, like the old Baylor offense with Art Briles and Kendall Briles, similar to what Arkansas was doing last year. So, it should be a lot of fun. I can't wait to watch it. I'm ready to see us, you know, not struggling to score 21 points in a game.
Bear, so, what was that stat we talked about the other day that we only had 3 plays of 40-plus yards this year?
3 plays over 40 yards.
It's honestly impressive.
I'm sorry, what? What was that stat? 3?
Yeah, we only had 3 offensive plays last year of 40-plus yards.
Like, I know that 40 yards is a good darn chunk of yards, but man.
What's funny is 2 of them happened in the Alabama game.
2 of them? Wow. That is...
It's honestly impressive.
Kind of is. Wow. Anyways. All right, so a couple more minutes left in the show. Let's see what we can get into as we send you into the weekend. What about final thoughts for Sunday's game? You got a prediction? You got a final thought? You got a key to the game? Anybody around the table have a final opinion on anything about basketball related before the regular season finale at home at noon on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm going to predict Tennessee 74, Florida 67.
All right, who winds up Tennessee's leading scorer?
Oh, I'm going to go with Keon Johnson.
Keon Johnson. KJ, the freshman, takes it home for Tennessee. That is Bears' prediction. Adam, what about you?
Give me UT 70, Florida 60. I think we win by 10. I think it's kind of ugly, but I think we see enough late down the stretch to where we're kind of slightly optimistic going into the SEC tournament.
And who leads the team?
Jaden Springer all day.
Okay. See, well,
24 points for Springer.
That's two pretty good options. You guys have taken the two freshmen so far. That's not bad at all. Man, I'm really torn on this game. I'm nervous. I've lost confidence in the show. Somehow, I feel like I've lost confidence since we talked about the Ricker Ridge smoking out question. But I'll say Tennessee finds a way to get it done at home. I don't need it to be a big victory. I don't need it to be even a pretty victory. I just want you to take care of business in Knoxville. Let's go Tennessee 67, Florida 62. Keon Johnson. Bear, I'm right there with you. Let's go Keon Johnson in his final regular season game before the NBA draft. That's how I think it happens.
All right. We need to try and squeeze Roger in here. We got a couple of minutes left in the show. Roger, you are on the drive. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing?
Howdy.
Good. I can talk to y'all. I just wanted to ask y'all a question, too, real quick. I just wanted to ask you about the game Saturday, Sunday. How important is this? I know everybody says it's important game. I just want to ask you, how important – it's an important game, but how important with this playing in tournament two? I just want to ask you, for now, I just want to ask you, how important is this game Tennessee to win? You think, Sandy?
Bear, you want to take this one? How important is this win for Tennessee on Sunday?
Yeah. Oh, it's huge, Rog. Massive. I mean, we've got to build up some momentum going into the SEC tournament. And the NCAA tournament, we do not want to just go out there, go through the motions, get beat on the last game of the regular season game of the year, and just limp into the SEC tournament. That would be a disaster.
And remember, the winner of this game on Sunday gets the coveted double bye final spot. So you're skipping an entire game if you can just win on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Excellent question. For Tennessee to win, look at what Tennessee has not had their last couple games. Again, you've not seen consistency from a couple of guys that you really lean on in order to do so. We know that Fulkerson is not the most consistent player right now, but what about a guy like Josiah Jordan-James? I believe only 2 points in his last two games. He's been dealing with injury. Tennessee just, frankly, dealing with a lot of injury. But I think that he is a guy. If he can step up and return to form on Sunday, then things are going to look pretty darn good. Roger, thank you for the call, man. I love talking to you just then. I'm sure that these guys on the drive will talk to you again very, very soon. But Bear, I believe that's it, my friend. How about it?
Yep. Fantastic.
I believe that's it. So hey, let's all go grab a White Claw, head into the weekend, enjoy it, be safe out there, have fun with the Tennessee game on Sunday, and I will see you at 10 a.m. on Monday. You'll see these guys right here at 3 p.m. on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Talk to you later. Be good.